Yesterday here at St. Felix Parish, we had our annual day-long pre-Cana retreat. We were delighted to host yesterday 32 engaged couples, 64 men and women from Wabasha County and Olmsted County and Winona County and all other places throughout the Diocese of Winona. All of these 64 men and women who are preparing for the sacrament of holy matrimony. It was a very, very blessed day of retreat for them as they were preparing for this great sacrament. And it wasn't by accident that these 32 engaged couples were here this weekend, because today is World Marriage Sunday. You probably saw that on your liturgical calendar at home. Today is World Marriage Sunday. It could not be more perfect. You remember that last Sunday, we honored all of those consecrated religious nuns and sisters, monks and brothers, and religious order priests who consecrate their lives to the Lord through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. This Sunday, the Church honors all of those married men and women who faithfully follow the precepts of the Church regarding marriage. The Lord gives these married couples special graces in the sacrament of holy matrimony to live their vocation as co-creators with God and to love each other as Christ loves his bride, the Church. Now, if you were married, let's say, 50 years ago, 55 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, or more, you know that there was only one gospel reading at your wedding. It was the gospel from Matthew, chapter 19, that says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, let no man separate what God has joined." That was the only reading, the only gospel reading that was read at your wedding. Now, if you've been married in the past 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 25 years, and so forth, the Church has now given us 10 different gospel readings. In addition to this reading from Matthew chapter 19, there are 9 other gospel readings from which you can pick to be read at your wedding from sacred scripture. And we always give our couples a little booklet. We give them, maybe remember this little booklet, Together for Life, with all the readings that are in it. Or here's a little booklet that I give that I typed up. It has all the scripture readings that you can have at your wedding. Okay? Now, in a happy act of divine providence, one of those 10 gospel readings that you can pick for your wedding is today's gospel reading from Matthew. Chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, I have to admit that in almost 17 years of priesthood, I don't think anybody's picked this reading for their wedding. It's probably because the word love isn't in the reading, or marriage isn't in the reading. And if you look at the other choices, how could you top picking the gospel from John chapter 2 about the wedding feast of Cana? How could you not pick those beautiful gospels from John chapter 15 where Jesus says, "Remain in my love. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments." Or, "There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." It's hard to top those gospels. So you can see why maybe couples didn't pick salt and light, because love and marriage wasn't in the reading. So why is today's gospel reading about salt and light, one of the top 10 list for wedding gospels? Think about it. Of all the thousands of possibilities of gospels, why this gospel? The exclusive use of this gospel over the centuries from Matthew chapter 5 about salt and light was always used for the feast of doctors of the Church, those priests and bishops, those theologians who shed light on our Catholic faith. It's a very fitting reading for the feast of doctors. But Jesus did not say this beautiful phrase, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, just to his apostles, nor just to the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world in his sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes to huge crowds that were gathered there, made mostly up of moms and dads, husbands and wives, young people and senior citizens. Jesus said that everybody is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, we saw last week, when we were talking about the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, that the world really doesn't think much of those anymore. We know that the world thinks more about material riches. The world thinks more about promiscuity. The world thinks more about disobedience to God's laws. And we saw last week that when a nun or a monk, a sister or a brother lives those virtues, those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, that they are a witness to the world. They give light to the world. And the same is true this week. Married couples take vows too. And when you live your vows faithfully, you give light to the world. And so in a world that sees Sunday as a day for yourself, as a day for sleeping in and playing golf and going for a little boat ride down the river, you're a light to the world when you joyfully bring your family to Mass every single Sunday and live the Catholic faith. In a world that sees living together as a requirement before marriage, you give light to the world by waiting to live together until you are husband and wife in the eyes of God. In a world that sees so many couples getting divorced and remarried, married men and women are a light to the world by being faithful to each other until death do you part. In a world that says children are evil and to be avoided at all costs, even killing them if necessary, married men and women are a light to the world by being open to the gift of many children from God. In a world that sees marriage as any type of relationship between people, between two men or two women, you are a light to the world that marriage is only what God intended, between one man and one woman. Yes, indeed, a sacramental marriage that is built on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ, a sacramental marriage that is free, total, faithful, and fruitful, that gives light to the world. As we sang in the responsorial psalm, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. Married men and women in the sacrament of marriage are a light in darkness to the upright. You are the light of the world. You are also the salt of the earth. I want to take a little different tactic here with being salt for the earth. I think the most difficult part of being salt is to be salt for your own spouse in marriage. At our RCIA classes, we always talk about the gospel for Sunday. And all of those who were with us for RCIA on Thursday night, they really gave me some beautiful insights about the image of salt. Certainly you think that salt adds flavor to food. It makes it taste good. Well, in a marriage, you're supposed to add flavor and zest to your marriage, right? This is kind of the easy part for your spouse. This is the fun part, adding this flavor to your marriage. But what about some other things? Somebody said in class that salt melts ice. And what about in marriage? If you're to be salt for your spouse, can you melt the heart of your spouse that might be hardened to having lots of children or maybe hardened about going to church on Sunday? You're called to be salt, to melt that hard heart. Or somebody else said in class that salt softens water. We, you know, pour in those big bags of salt into our water softeners, and I think how many times the heart of our spouse needs softening We might have some rough edges that need to be softened, that we have to allow our spouse to soften for us. And then somebody said in class that salt heals, because you have to gargle with warm water and salt, right? People flock to the Dead Sea in the Holy Land, and they bathe in 21% salt content in the Dead Sea, and they exfoliate their pores because salt heals. What can you help heal with your spouse? That you can be salt for your spouse who experienced a great wound many years ago, but you're called to be salt for them. And then somebody else said that salt cleanses. You add salt with a little lemon and you can cleanse things. And I think about marriages and I think how you can be salt for your spouse in cleansing out the impurities in your marriage. Cleansing out those impurities like pornography. How can you be that salt for your spouse? Only through the graces of the sacrament of marriage. How can you be salt for your spouse? Only through the graces of the sacrament of marriage. Only if you allow Christ to be the light that shines through you, then you can be that salt for your spouse. You know, there's one more thing we talked about with salt. And you probably thought I was going to mention it, right? Salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. It helps to preserve the food, right, and make it last longer. And if you take a tour through the Old Testament, you'll see a very consistent use of salt. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 24, bring an unblemished young bull and an unblemished ram from the flock and present them before the Lord, and the priest shall strew salt on them to offer them to the Lord as a holocaust. Why? Why is the priest putting salt on the bull and the ram? In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, you will put salt in every cereal offering that you offer, and you will not fail to put the salt of the covenant of your God on your cereal offering. I've heard of putting sugar on cereal, but salt? Numbers 18, verse 19, this is a covenant of salt to last forever before the Lord, for you and for your descendants. Isn't that interesting? All throughout the Old Testament, they put salt on their covenant sacrifices to say to God that they wanted this covenant to last forever. They wanted to preserve their covenant with God. And so if a couple picks this reading of today's gospel of salt and light, that salt reminds them of the permanence of their solemn covenant before God. May your marriage covenant of love be preserved like salt all the days of your life until death do you part.